I'm Lieutenant Joe Pangaro. I've been a cop for 27 years. I like to say I got a backstage pass to life. Well, guess what? I got some tickets for you. So come on in, pull up a chair, turn up that volume, and let's go. Chasing Justice is on.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Chasing Justice here in the America Out Loud Radio Network. I'm your host, Lieutenant Joe Pangaro, and as usual, I have some things I want to talk about, some things I need to say, which brings up free speech. Now, we talk about free speech all the time. We use it almost as a kick-around term. I have free speech. That's my free speech. You can't stop my free speech. What is free speech? So let's start out right off the bat with an understanding the First Amendment of the Constitution of the United States. So a lot of people have not read the Constitution. It's not a big document. You should go and read it. Read the Constitution and understand the essence of where our government comes from. That we, the people, run the government. The government doesn't run us. So, the First Amendment, Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, or abridging the freedom of speech, or of the press, or of the right of the people to peaceably assemble and to petition the government for redress of grievances. There you go. So basically what it says is we the people get to say what's on our mind and the government can't stop us. The press, which in theory, the press and the media are supposed to really speak truth to power, regardless of who is in power. Unfortunately, in our modern world, we know that, at least in the American media, it is dominated by left-wing socialist opinion, and that's the only thing that they report. Sometimes it's very, very slanted. It's certainly not the way our forefathers intended the press to be. The press was there to ask questions. If a politician on one side or the other said something, the press was supposed to look at that and find out if it's true or not. Now, the way it works, if the president of the United States, Donald Trump, says something, the press is supposed to go, okay, is there anything to what he said? Did he say the right thing? Did he say the wrong thing? Is it true to what he said? And then report on that. Well, the president said today that Mars is one of the planets in our solar system. But we think, really, he said there was nine, so he's trying to, and then they attack him, or whatever. As opposed to saying, well, the president is correct. Mars is one of the planets in our solar system. It's part of the family of planets we live in, and etc. We know today that they will find some way to bash him over anything he says, because the press is extremely liberal. Now, I'm not using Donald Trump about Donald Trump. I'm saying this is the way the press has bastardized their beautifully enshrined part in our American system. They are there to report, to tell the truth, which they often do not do. They make up news, they slant news to meet their point of view, which is really antithetical. But it's right there in the Constitution. Freedom of the press. So they have a right to say anything they want. We the people can say what we want. So I'm bringing this up today because we see speech codes on colleges. We see people being silenced because of their point of view. We see conservatives especially being silenced. Put on a MAGA hat and go walk around through any city in America. And what do you think is going to happen to you? Do you think people are going to see that, oh, that person supports Donald Trump and wants America to be a place of freedom and justice? No. They're going to immediately, maybe they physically attack you. Maybe they verbally attack you. They could throw food on you. They could throw you out of restaurants. They can attack you for your freedom of speech. Now, that leads me to an important point about freedom of speech. By the Constitution, I have a right to say whatever I want to say, especially in a political arena, but it doesn't mean I have a right to have people listen to me, right? Just because I have a right to say it doesn't mean you have a right, you don't have a right to walk away, all right? So this gets frustrating when people demand that you listen to their point of view. No, you have a right to make your argument, but I don't have to listen. I can walk away and I can make an argument of my own. So we don't see that today. We see a silencing of a lot of opinion. We see the big social media outlets, which I find this really funny. They're going round and round. They're going to do a study to find out to see if conservative speech has been attacked unfairly on their platforms. And I said, okay, that's nice of them. They want to go, you know, give that lip service to it. But let's just ask, how many liberal voices have been silenced? How many liberal people have had their accounts shut off? How many people on Twitter and Facebook and all these other places have they had their accounts suspended because of what they say, right? What I find offensive that they say. No, it really is a one-way street, which there's your answer right there. They're playing a game. They're playing a game of pretend. And that's really what I want to talk about here. So today on Chasing Justice, we're going to look at this free speech issue a little bit, because I think it's extremely important, and it's something I wanted to do for a while. So I'm actually writing a column. I'm hoping to get it up on America Out Loud pretty soon. It's called Let's Pretend. So the whole idea is that we do a lot of that now. You know, common sense is no longer the ruling guide to how we look at something. We look at something and we say, it doesn't matter what my eyes actually see and my ears actually hear, that makes reality. Perception is not reality. What is reality is whatever someone says their reality is, I'm supposed to see it too. And if I don't, that must mean I hate them or I don't like them or something. You know, so I look at this and I say, how can we look at the history of the United States and say, when you cut taxes, the economy grows? That's what happens. When you cut taxes on the people, people have more money, they feel more confident about their lives, they go out and spend more money. They buy things. All right? Well, then the economy grows and everybody does better. When you tax people too much, they stop spending because they don't have enough. So how anybody can see that differently than what it really is confounding to me. I don't get how you can see that. If I make a dollar and the government takes a quarter, and I say, okay, I only need 50 cents to live. That leaves me 25 cents. I'm going to go buy a car or candy or a house or some clothing or something that I want. Hey, that's good, because then the people that make the candy, the house, the clothing, all that, they get money. Then their money increases and they go out and spend it. This is how the system works. But if the government comes along and says, we're going to tax you 51 cents. I say, wow, I need 50 cents to live. So I'm already in the hole, so I'm not buying a house, a candy bar, I'm not buying a car, I'm not buying clothes. I have to find some way to make more money. And therefore, the economy shuts down because I don't buy anything from those other people that are offering things. So it's common sense that this is how it works. Why we have two different opinions on this, I don't know. I can't get it. When I look and I see, okay, the whole idea of what how people see themselves, I get that that's important. I get that that is. I'm trying to be open to it. I understand if you have a different point of view about how you see yourself. And I want to be respectful of that. But at the same time, don't tell me that I'm horrible and I'm a hater because I'm not experiencing your experience. I'm just simply looking at what my senses are telling me. Okay? So if I see a green car and I say it's green, but the person that owns it says, no, I believe my car is orange. And if you don't see my car as orange, then you must hate me and you must hate my car. No, I you want to call your car orange, that's fine, but the car is green. What do you want me to do about that? Well, we're supposed to pretend. We're supposed to pretend. And I don't get how that's good for anybody. People can have their different points of view. People can have their different ways of living their life. That's good for them. That's great. Everyone should do what they want, love who they want, go where they want, say what they want. I'm all in favor of it. And I don't want to offend anybody. If you want to say that your car is orange when I'm talking to you, I'm going to talk about your orange car because that's what you want to do. But don't hit me over the head because I see the car is green. It's a green car. But you want to say that it's orange. So I'm going to say it's orange when I talk to you. That doesn't mean I hate you. It just means that's what I see. But our freedom of speech now is being curtailed because if you don't believe that that car is orange, then you're wrong and you're a hater. And I don't see that. So the reason I'm bringing this up is not for any particular incident. So don't read into my words. What I'm simply saying is when I was a young kid, we played we played pretend, make believe. We played, we were cowboys one day, and we were out on the range doing cowboy stuff. And the next day, we were knights of the round table, you know, and we all had sticks or swords, and we were going to go, you know, fight dragons or whatever. And then the next week, we were all, you know, army men, and we were going to go fight America's enemies, and, you know, we were in battles and all that kind of stuff. But we knew that was make believe. We knew we really weren't army men. We weren't really cowboys. We weren't really knights of the round table. We were pretending. You know, when my children were little, I had tea parties with my daughter, my little daughter, who wanted to have a tea party. And we would sit there and we would have tea and we would pretend that we were in a royal court maybe. And there was all these fancy people there and we would have tea with them. And that was a wonderful fantasy play. It's good for the imagination. But my daughter did not believe she was actually a princess at a tea party and that there were really fancy people sitting around the table besides me, of course, having tea. We were pretending. We were making believe. You know, make-believe is a wonderful thing for an imagination. I mean, I write a lot. You know, there's a lot of columns that I write. I also write fiction stuff. I write police stories. I write stories about, you know, terrorism and things like that. That's creative. The creativity is part of the human soul, and that's wonderful. But we don't confuse make-believe with reality. You know, and so much of that is tied up now in our politically correct world. That you have to confound reality with someone's belief. It doesn't matter what it is. If we look at politics and we have to believe that because someone thinks that the statues in the South shouldn't be taken down because they're historical, that person, we have to believe, orthodoxy of the left tells us we have to believe that because that person is a racist and they liked slavery and they hate people of color. That's why they want those statues to stay up. There can be no other reason. And that is nonsense. That's nonsense. I'm not a racist person. I don't know anybody who is a racist person. I know they're out there, so I'm not going to pretend that they aren't. Of course they are. But there's all kinds of racist people out there, isn't there? All right? We look at what the media does to the president. And he's the biggest example because this is a guy who's not a politician. He just comes out and says what's on his mind and they twist everything he says. If he said the sky is blue, they would come out and argue that it's not really blue. It's the sky is actually a different color than blue. It's the light that makes it blue. He just hates the color orange or whatever it is. So we see when he came out and he defended, or actually he was attacking the squad and their anti-Semitism. Israel has been a friend of America since it was formed. America sees Israel as a couple of different things. Number one, a people who were attacked in the most horrific way throughout history, but especially and most recently during World War II. And therefore, when they had a homeland, that's a good thing that they have a homeland. And therefore, America supports them. They're also a democracy in the middle of a world, in the middle of a world over there in the Middle East that is not a democracy, that are tyrant run overall, dictatorships. You can call them whatever you want. There's different names for them, but they're certainly not democratic governments over there in that part of the world. Israel is. So therefore we support Israel for those two reasons, historic reasons, humanity, and also because of their politics. They are our ally. They are our friend. And when the people on the squad, the Democrat congresswomen, Omar and Tlaib, are blatantly anti-Semitic, the president calls them out. Now, their own party will not call them out. Their own Democrat party will not call them out for their anti-Semitism. But the president does. He calls them out. And he makes a statement the other day, something along the lines of, if you vote for a Democrat, because what are they always saying to us? If you're not anti-gun, then you're pro all the people that shoot up the schools. You know, so one swash of the brush, and we're all one thing. Well, couldn't we say the same thing to them? You're not going after these congresswomen for what they said, for their anti-Semitism. You're not putting it down. You're not saying it's bad. You won't say a word. So aren't you then supporting it? So therefore, the whole Democrat Party, who will not go after these women for their anti-Semitism, take out that big brush and wash them down. Guess what? They are the face of the party, and you are now anti-Semitic party. See, the logic has to go both ways. It can't just go one way. It has to go both ways. So the entire party then, if they will not renounce what these women said and go after them for it, then the whole party then is anti-Semitic. Now, I'm a conservative and I'm a common sense person. I know that that's not true. I know that everybody in the Democrat Party is not anti-Semitic because these women are. But you have to call them out. And the president calls them out and says, if you vote for a Democrat, you are being unloyal or disloyal to the state of Israel. He doesn't mean the Jewish people. He means anybody. The Jewish people of the state of Israel are our allies, right? We stand by them. So if you vote for Democrats who support these women in their anti-Semitism, you're going against one of our allies. That's what he means by that, but that's not how the press sees it. The press cannot afford to let him make the point. So therefore, they turn around and say, he's attacking the Jewish people, and he is an anti-Semite. Think about that. He's anti-Semitic for supporting the state of Israel and attacking people who are anti-Semitic. Is there logic there? Let's pretend. All right, we're back at the Tea Party again. And I don't mean the Tea Party party. I mean the Tea Party with my daughter. We're back playing make-believe. There's a lot of make-believe that goes on here. We have to pretend what we see, we don't see. We have to pretend what we hear, we don't hear. That cannot be good for a society. I'm not saying there's not room here for everybody, because there is. But let's be honest about everything. We can't even talk about this. We can't have conversations. You try and have a conversation about American history, and immediately, if you don't say that everything that happened in the past was bad, that's because you're a racist and you want to go back to slavery and you hated people, and that's the immediate attack on you. This has gone so far that there's going to be silence, because people lose their jobs, people lose their livelihoods because of an accusation. So therefore, we can't talk. And isn't that the idea behind a dictator or a tyrant? To silence opposition? So instead of having a conversation about the evils of the past and how we've grown from that and we've learned from that and how can we make sure that's never repeated, instead, you have to forget everything that happened there. Everything, because it was bad. When the real play there is to forgetting everything, means forgetting the Constitution, forgetting all the good things that America is, and get rid of America. That is the ultimate goal of many of these people in the socialist movement. But we're blind to that because we get silenced, we get shut up, we get called names. So that's free speech. Free speech means I could say what I want, unabridged. But do we really have that today? So this week on Chasing Justice, I have an interview coming up with a couple of really cool people you're going to like. Michael Bloomling Jr. is running for Congress in the 21st District down in Florida. So I got Michael to come on and just tell me about what he's doing. Really a tremendous young man. I think you should really give a listen to what he has to say. Great accomplishments. And he's a military veteran on top of that. So, you know, I like him right off the bat. And then second, we're going to have Yankee Doodle Keith on. Yankee Doodle Keith was from the neighborhood. He was on last week's show. And Yankee Doodle Keith lives in Massachusetts and had a very interesting episode when he got back to work. He got liberaled when he got there because of something he said. So we're going to hear all about that today on Chasing Justice. So stick with us. It's going to be quite a ride.
It's your news and entertainment network. News blogs, informative podcasts, entertaining videos, or listen to 24/7 talk radio on our free apps on Apple, Android, or Alexa. We the People, AmericaOutloud.com is the voice of liberty and justice for all. Welcome to the new era in communications, America Out Loud Talk Radio.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Chasing Justice here on the America Out Loud Radio Network. I'm your host, Lieutenant Joe Pangaro, and I want to talk about what we talk about here a lot on this program is the politics of our nation and what's going on and who's going to lead us forward. You know, right now we see a lot of crazy things going on in the Congress. We see, you know, the squad, and we see AOC and all of the things that she's coming up with constantly to change our nation at its very foundation. And I know that's upsetting to a lot of people. So today I'm going to have two different people on this show that are going to talk about these changes that are going forward. One is a young man, a military veteran who is running for Congress out of Florida. And I'm going to introduce you to him in a second. We're going to hear all about him. A fantastic young man. I think a leader for the future. I think it's somebody that if we had a choice between who we would have, I would have 355 of this young man on. And then we're going to talk to a guy who works in Massachusetts, who, as he explained to me when we had this pre-interview, is that he got liberaled at work. He was talking about American history with a co-worker, and it turns out the co-worker made a complaint to HR that he did not take the proper view of American history, and this person found it offensive. So we're going to get into those two people in a little bit. But right now, I want to start off with a young man running for Congress, Michael Blumling. Did I say that correct, Michael?
Yes, it's Michael Blumling Jr., and thank you very much for having me on the show. I really appreciate it.
You're very welcome, and I'm thrilled that you're here. So, Michael, I think, you know, the show goes out all over the world, and I know it goes down to Florida because I have relatives down there who listen. Why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself? What's your history? Where do you come from? I know you're in the military, and we salute you and thank you for your service first and foremost. Because here at Chasing Justice, we appreciate everybody in the military, law enforcement, and all first responders. So
absolutely.
Let's hear a little bit about
you. I come from a long line of military in my family. My grandfather served in Korea. My father served in Vietnam on the USS Kitty Hawk. My sister's still serving. I served pre and post 9/11. I was a non-commissioned officer. I was mechanized infantry. I was on a Bradley infantry fighting vehicle. I served our country as part of two conflicts. I was actually in Germany on 9/11 when the planes came into New York and into Washington, D.C., and the one plane came down in Pennsylvania. So when you talk about duty, honor, and country, it's something that's embedded in my DNA. I love America. I was born at Fort Benning, Georgia, so I was actually born on a military installation. So when you talk about service and dedicated service and selfless service, that's what I've done my entire life. I have 4 degrees. My master's is from Pennsylvania State University. When I got out of the military, I had about a total of 13 years in government. I worked for the Department of Veterans Affairs. I also was an investigator in Virginia and D.C. For the United States Department of Labor, I worked in employment law. So I fought for discrimination against veterans, individuals with disabilities, women, and also minorities. So I have a long history of serving the community. I actually received a national award with some co-workers. We had a lunch buddy program where we worked with inner city vulnerable population youth to help them, and we actually won a Department of Labor national award for voluntary. So I thought that was, you know, just an honor. So absolutely, my whole life I've been serving the community. I love the community right down here. I'm running for U.S. Congress in District 21 in Florida, South Florida. I love the community. I love the people, and they're ready for someone to come and lead, not just for them, but with them.
Michael, that is fantastic. And I got to tell you, you know, I have so much respect, like I said, for everybody in the military. Your particular career is outstanding. You are clearly one of America's best, and I'm thrilled that you're here on in the show with me. Now, I understand you wrote some books also, which is near and dear to my heart because I'm a writer. So what are your books about? Where do we find them?
Well, you know, I had a very tragic childhood. My father, when he got out of the military, I grew up in Pittsburgh. He turned to drugs and alcohol. He abused my mother. He abused myself. You know, I was on May 28th, 1984, was the first time when I was 5 years old that he tried to kill me. He beat me with a belt. I looked like a piece of meat from the market. And that was documented on TV and in the news. It's actually, you know, something that people can, you know, look up and find out that actually happened, which is, you know, I think a significant event because most times abuse is kind of swept under the rug and you don't hear about it. And, you know, my story, my life has a real purpose and a meaning, and I've always, you know, kept that. So I ended up starting a business when I was getting my business degree, my bachelor's degree, called Power of One. And the whole concept was faith plus determination equals fulfillment. And it really means if you believe in yourself and you have faith in a higher power. I'm very, you know, religious. And I wrote a book on religion as well called Our Journey Heart to Heart with God through journaling, helping people to have a closer relationship with God. But if you have a closer, you know, if you have faith and you're determined, you know, whatever you know, your journey, whatever your obstacle is, whatever adversity you're going through, I believe that you can go through it. So I started that business, and I published those two books, and I also published a military transition book called Bridging the Gap from Soldier to Civilian, A Roadmap to Success for Veterans. And that was helping veterans before they get out of the military prepare. And then once they get out of the military, their psychological well-being, starting a business, going back to college, you know, their professional career. It's a really all-encompassing book. And it's one of the things that I really want to do in U.S. Congress is be able to be a leader, but have a clearinghouse. Because a lot of times veterans go through a process and they don't know where to go or who to trust. And I want to be able to have, you know, organizations that are vetted, that have results, actual results. So when military or someone going through adversity in the community, you can know we can have this system where people are vetted and we know that the dollars coming down from federally or state dollars or local dollars are actually being used for their exact purpose and helping to eliminate fraud, waste, and abuse. And the first book I wrote too was Turning the Page, and that's the book that was helping people who've been abused recover.
Outstanding on every single count. I mean, it seems like you've taken every aspect of your life, good or bad, and you've turned it into a way to help people and seeking justice. And that's what this show is all about. That's why I named it Chasing Justice. Michael, how do we find those books? Can you send me links that I can send along with the show, or is there a place people could go find these books now?
Yeah, I did a four-month book signing tour with Barnes & Noble. I had a distribution channel. I actually closed the company at the end of 2016, but all the books are available on Amazon. I mean, every platform you can go, and my books are out there. They're in distribution. People are getting them. I mean, I get a lot of people who come back to me and say, you know, your book really helped me, and that's the goal for me, you know, and now it's on to the next chapter, but the books are all available online. Also, my website for my congressional page is www.bloomlingforcongress.com.
That's great, and I hope everybody goes visits that, all right? Go take a look at Michael's website. Look at these books. Go to Amazon, because this is real content. You know, we're all wondering, hey, when do we hear something that's real? Well, here's obviously a guy's real. That's why I have him on the show here. Hi, Michael. Let's address two things. First of all, in the background, you might hear some barking once in a while, and it's everybody that listens to Chasing Justice knows. One of the things our family does here is we do a lot of dog rescue. So the house has always got one or two dogs in it, on top of our dog, Arthur. So right now we do have another dog here. We have Lila, who's a beautiful animal. And every once in a while, Lila and Arthur, they get very excited when they go up and down the stairs. So you might hear some barking, but that's who that is in the background. And everyone's come to really love the rescues. So that's the reason you're here to barking. I wanted you to know that. So let's turn our attention now towards your run for Congress. Okay, you want to run. What do you see going on in the Congress right now? How do you see this this squad and these socialists coming into our government? What do you think about that?
Well, right now we have a tremendous amount of discord in our legislative process. And what I firmly believe is that this Constitution of the United States of America was built on freedom, liberty, and justice. And that's the cornerstone of my campaign. I'm a patriot. I'm a conservative. I love the United States of America. I love the people. And I'm a person of unity. I don't allow negativity to come into my world. I don't, you know, look at those things. But when we look at the evil of the world, when you talk about foreign policy, when you talk about immigration, when you talk about health care, when you talk about all these specific areas where you're elected legislator and you're charged to do a specific job, but you're spending more time trying to spread propaganda and rhetoric that destroys humanity, I have a problem with that. And so when I get to Congress, I'm going to fight against socialism. You know, small business owners, I really want to support our small business owners and write good legislation. I want to have less taxes for them. I want to be able to ensure that they can have easy access to instead of having barriers to entry when they're trying to start a business. The success rates of small businesses of failing is very, very high. I want to reverse that trend. I want small business owners to start prospering and being able to hire employees and, you know, stimulate the economy. And I want to do that here in South Florida, District 21. I want to have education reform. I want to help our universities have degree programs that fall in line right with the future economic development and structure that's upcoming, foreseeing, you know, what are the trends? What is you know, with technology, with all the advancements, how are we going to be able to fill the workforce? And, you know, that's a major part of my background. I helped create over 30,000 jobs for veterans. I ran the Virginia Values Veterans Program under the governor's initiative in Virginia. And so I'm all about job creation and creating prosperity and improving the quality of life of everyone in District 21. There's 700,000 people down here, and they're ready for the change. I've been talking to Democrats, I've been talking to Independents, I've been talking to Republicans, and I tell you what, you know, they're really excited about what I'm doing, and I hope this show, you know, I want everyone around America to know that I'm going to be supporting them when I write legislation as well.
Michael, let me ask you this though. I think this is the big question in the room. Your background, very, very impressive. Your skill set, your experience. But let me ask you, were you ever a loudmouth bartender?
No.
Well, I think that's a major... I'm sorry. You're not running on the Democratic ticket, I would take it then.
No. I'm a Republican, but I did work when I was working for the federal government. I did work. I was working about 80 hours a week. And because I have two children, I'm divorced, 13 and 15 year old. I love my children. They're a major part of my life. But the funny thing is I've always put whatever effort it takes. I'm a tireless worker. But I used to work as a waiter as a second job. You know, when I first had my daughter, I was working for the federal government and I would go wait tables at night. I mean, I'm the kind of person that whatever it takes, I will make the sacrifice. And I'm so excited to get into U.S. Congress and support our president, Donald Trump. I want to support his initiatives. I think he's doing some great things for our country. And I want to get in there and I want to help make a difference for the United States and for the American people.
Wow. It sounds like you do. If everyone that ran for office was as clear cut as you, I would think any clear-thinking person would give you at least a fair shake and hear you out. Because I got to tell you, we talk all the time here between the people that I have on the show here in Chasing Justice, and it seems though there's like this border wall between people's brains. They'll listen to somebody like you, what you're talking about, the common sense that you're making, the experience you have, and you'll run against someone who is talking about opening the borders and raising the taxes and socializing the country. And they, well, I guess that's a good option too, they say to them. So how can that possibly be? So I guess my next question to you is, you know, if you could tell me, what are your top three things that you want to do when you get to Congress?
My three agenda items and the cornerstone of my campaign is based on providing resources and education to the community while eliminating fraud, waste, and abuse. The three areas I'm focused on, number one is ending child sex and labor trafficking. Florida is the number three state that has a gigantic problem. And we, you know, there's federal and state dollars coming down here to Palm Beach County. And we don't have beds. So if somebody's rescued, where are we going to put the kids at? I mean, we have so many problems. You got to think about things in a holistic way, overlapping all areas. You can't just think, okay, well, we want to have programs. We want to have literature. You know, this is an initiative. No, you got to put boots on the ground. You got to train law enforcement. You got to root out corruption. I'm going to drain the swamp. I am so sick of corruption. Any legislator, first of all, that is against the Constitution, they shouldn't be serving as a legislator. And second of all, if you are someone who's taking a kickback and you're supposed to be serving the American people, I have a huge problem with that. I mean, honestly, I don't have a special interest. You know, I've had a lot of success in my career. I'm doing this solely for the people. And, you know, this is so disgraceful against our children. You know, Epstein, you know, a lot of things that were happening was right here in Palm Beach County and Palm Beach Island. And, you know, I'm going to fight that. And if people don't like that, or, you know, I got people following me now. I got people that are, you know, really trying to pay attention to what I'm doing. I'm sure, you know, people are used to the status quo down here in South Florida and in District 21, but I'm about to make a change. And that's one area that's a huge emphasis for me, especially coming from an abusive background and seeing my mother abused, that I'm not going to stand for that. That's absolutely an abomination, in my opinion. And the second thing, you know, I want to focus on is education reform and job creation. I think it's really important that we tie the education that our children are getting and having an expectation that, okay, they're going to get a degree that is going to get them a job. You know, when somebody gets a bachelor's degree and they're working at Wawa or, you know, working at a convenience store, I mean, I think that's a problem for society. I mean, you know, that's going to draw into, you know, social services. You know, if somebody's not able to meet their basic needs, then they're going to look for a social service. Right. But, if you give somebody a job, which I think most people would want, a quality job, then they get that job. Then they're able to, you know, not be a draw in society, but they're able to contribute to society. And I think that's very, very important, especially down here in South Florida and in the state of Florida, because we don't have state income tax. So right. A lot of people want to come down here. 1,200 people a day are coming to Florida. So we got to make sure when they come to Palm Beach County, I want to make sure that there's jobs waiting for them there and that we can support that. And then the third thing is the preservation of the benefits for and the rights of our retirees, senior citizens, and our veterans. Right now, we have a lot of fraud against our retirees, whether against their 401k or Medicare, Medicaid, against our veterans when they transition with their GI Bill and their benefits when they go to school. I know President Donald Trump just signed a bill that anybody who's 100% disabled, you know, they're going to take away their student loan debt. I think that's great. I mean, right now there's a lot of red tape. And a lot of times, you know, with these demographics that, you know, there's a lot of confusion. And so people don't, you know, when you're elderly and you've carried the load for America, we should be helping them. We shouldn't be taking advantage of them. And the same with our veterans, who I love so much. I think everyone who served this country is an absolute hero.
I'm going to agree with you. And I think the entire AmericaOutLoud.com audience would agree with you. You know, I haven't known you very long. I did a little research on you, and that's why I decided to ask you to come on, because I think you support a lot of the things that I know that I support, and I know millions of Americans do. You're talking about the 700,000 people down in your district, and I'm going to tell them, everybody that's listening, you know, give Michael a good look, because if you're looking for America to stay traditional, if you're looking to take care of our veterans, which has got to be our priority every single day. You know, these men and women are out there fighting for us, giving up their bodies and their lives and whatever they need. So I applaud the president, too, for doing that, taking away these student loans for our disabled vets. Now, Michael, we're coming to the end very quickly here. If somebody wants to reach out to you, how do they contact you? How do they get in touch with you? How do they donate? How do they help your campaign? What can they do?
Yeah, I definitely appreciate volunteers and contributions. I mean, that's the fuel to the engine. So I really appreciate any listener who wants to help and spread the word through social media, especially. I'm on Twitter at Bloomling, which is my last name, FL21. Instagram, the same, Bloomling, FL21. I'm on LinkedIn, heavily involved in LinkedIn because of my professional contacts with a lot of military, high brass military, like General Petraeus. I was messaging with him a few weeks ago. General Clark, who's on CNN occasionally and other outlets, he was my general of the 1st Infantry Division. So I know a lot of people that are in the network. You can connect with me on LinkedIn. I also have my Facebook campaign page, Michael Bloomling Jr. for Congress. I'd love to connect with you. I mean, I'm very transparent. That's one of the things that one of the platforms I'm really running on is being accessible. A lot of times politicians, like, you see them, they want your vote, and then, you know, you don't hear from them. I want people to know if there's a concern or there's something that you want me to address, I will do it for you.
Excellent. All right, so everybody go out there and hook up with Michael on Facebook, on Twitter. Take a look at him. Listen to what he has to say. Michael Bloomling Jr. for Congress in the 21st District in Florida. Michael, it's been an absolute pleasure to have you on Chasing Justice, and we'll be in touch again in the future. Well, if you don't mind, we'd like to see how the campaign's going and hear some other things that are going on for you down there in Florida.
Thank you so much, Joseph, for having me on the call and on the interview. And you know what? Thank you for your service. And God bless our first responders, our police, and our firefighters. God bless them and their families for their sacrifice every day as well.
Thank you, everybody. And we'll be back with round three here on Chasing Justice in a minute. Remember, AmericaOutLoud.com, the place to be.
The question I always get asked is, where do I get the energy from? Well, keeping up with Malcolm Out Loud is no easy task, friends, even for Malcolm. Well, you may know that I've personally been taking Healthy Cell for some time now. Well, the great news is Healthy Cell has a new type of natural supplement called the Nutrition Gel. So no more hard-to-swallow pills. The good-tasting gel can be mixed into smoothies, yogurt, or water. These gels provide maximum absorption of essential nutrients, and it's healthy for our gut. Not abrasive like pills can be. You know, it's time for all of us to go pill-free. And you can try it with a free 2-day supply. Just cover $2.95 shipping, and the company Healthy Cell will cover the cost of the product. Go to healthycell.com/outloud or simply click the Healthy Cell logo at the top of AmericaOutloud.com.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Chasing Justice here on the America Out Loud Radio Network. Next up, we're going to talk to a young man that was on this program not too long ago, was one of the neighborhood guys. That'd be Yankee Doodle Keith from Massachusetts. Now, Keith is an interesting fella. He's actually a very intelligent guy, as you can tell from his interviews here on Chasing Justice. And he's a patriot. He's one of us, so to speak. He loves his country, and he is dumbfounded, as the rest of us are, by AOC, the socialists, and all these other people that are coming out of the woodwork trying to destroy our country. I mean, how many times have we said it here? We think that some of our liberal friends have some good ideas. Just the way they go about these things can be confounding at times. And one of the things that I think we're all having a problem with is this political correctness. You know, you got to be so careful about what you say and how you say it and who you say it to, because it doesn't really matter what you meant. It's really determined on how people take it. So if somebody takes what you said and they're offended by it, well, that shocks everybody's world. The next thing you know, people are running around, they're offended. Now, if you offend somebody at work, you can have a big problem. You could say, you know, I love the American flag. And if you say that to the wrong person and they're offended by the American flag, next thing you know, you're hauled into HR and you're redressed for your evil thoughts that the American flag is a good and beautiful thing as opposed to being a symbol of hate and everything else that many people on the left seem to see it as. So Yankee Doodle Keith was here visiting. He was on the show. And then he goes back to work and he calls me up and he says, hey, I think I've been liberaled. And I was taken aback by that for a second. I said, you've been what? He says, I've been liberaled. I said, how'd you get liberaled? Well, he goes to work and he has a conversation with another employee. Just a conversation. I'm going to let him explain it to you. But this conversation was about America. It was about history. It was about based on facts. Now, we know Joe Biden says they don't care about facts, but the rest of us really do. Facts are important. So facts of American history are not something that are in dispute. We know the facts. They're written down. And he was having a factual conversation with another employee, and that employee was offended, I guess, by the facts, by the reality, didn't like it, and apparently went to HR and made a complaint. And Yankee Doodle Keith gets hauled into HR and has to answer for his commentary. So without any further ado, I'm going to introduce you to Yankee Doodle Keith. Welcome back, neighborhood guy.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here, Joe.
It's awesome. And I, you know, people say, Joe, you say awesome a lot and fantastic. Well, I do, because this is how I feel about things. So it is awesome to have you here. So, Keith, you were telling me about this incident. Why don't you give us a little bit of background on what happened here? You know, how did this situation come up for you?
Okay, Joe. What had happened is I had gone back to work and was informed by my department manager that I had to go and see the HR director. And I didn't understand it because I do my job beyond the capability of people be around me, do my job as best as I possibly can at all times and never take off. I a lot of times even skip my breaks to make sure that I can get my work done. But I was called into HR, and I was nervous because I couldn't understand what was going on. And I sat down, and I was told that I had offended an employee. And for the life of me, I couldn't understand because I've never offended anybody. I don't think that way. I don't like to think that way. And they went on to tell me that a week to two ago that I had a conversation that lasted for 40 minutes, which also surprised me because I can't believe that I stopped for that long, something I don't do. You don't stop 40 minutes at work and do nothing, even on a slow day, 20 minutes, 5 minutes extra on a break. But the point is, they said, I had this conversation with another employee who was offended. Now, mind you, this was a conversation. I wasn't menacing. I wasn't being loud. Wasn't putting anybody down. We were talking about history.
You weren't browbeating him, right?
Not at all.
Okay.
It had come up that something we had heard on the news about how the forefathers are being treated by modern rules.
Right, they're trying to interpret. They're trying to interpret things from the past against juxtaposing them against the way our modern sensibilities are.
Exactly, saying things like Thomas Jefferson was a bad man because he had slaves. And my point was, but that was 200 years ago, and in America at that time, that was a normal thing. And who are we to say anything other than how do we know that George Washington, Thomas Jefferson, and Ben Franklin, and all these great men didn't treat their slaves, which was normal for the time, like human beings, like good people, never beat them, never hurt them, took care of them.
Right. Now let me just jump in right here, because this is one of those conversations when you have where people lose their minds because they only hear what they want to hear. You know, in our modern world, we understand that slavery is abhorrent. It was horrible back then, but what your point is that back then it was normal. And people saw it differently, even though in our light, in our time, we say that was horrifically horrible to do to any human being, that slavery is probably the worst thing you can do to someone, is to hold someone in bondage like that. So we kind of get that. That's bad.
And he kept the conversation going because he agreed on it. And then that led to my bringing up Thomas Jefferson, who history has already told us had made a child probably with one or more of his slaves, but one in particular, I don't recall her name right now, that he, I believe, may have been in love with.
Right. He loved her as a woman. And unfortunately, she happened to be a slave. That's a horrible thing for her. I get it.
Correct. And for Thomas Jefferson at that time, he could never be Thomas Jefferson and have that be public.
And have that kind of a relationship, right.
At that time. So I said, we can't condemn these people by modern rules. And then somehow, I don't know how, but then that led into the next issue that I was also brought to task about. And that was the taking down and destruction of Confederate statues in the South. Now, I know I'm jumping ahead to the Civil War, but the conversation we had did jump like this.
So the conversation was about American history and what's in the news today.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly. And again, it goes back to comparing putting modern rules on ancient men in a different era, in a different time.
Right.
A very long time ago. 100 years is a long time ago. 175 years is that's a very long time.
Right.
Things have changed in America.
We've become enlightened. Right. We understand. We see the sins of the past. You know,
exactly.
I get it.
As Americans, we try to change them and we make things better. Tell me, truly, things aren't better now than they were then. Of course they are. But here's the point. I thought it was wrong that all of the statues of men like Robert E. Lee, who was a great American, whether or not he fought for the South or not, at one time, he was a great American general. It's part of our history. It's not a fact. It's not a lie. It's a fact. It's true. And it was a great, difficult choice for that man to leave his Union position and join his Southern family for what he believed in at that time.
Right. And again, this is another one of those moments where we're looking at, you know, the South broke away and they had their reasons for leaving, and slavery was one of them because it was their economic power. And now we're told in this modern sensibility that you have to hate everything about the South because it was all based on racism. So you can't look at anything other than that in the modern world. Political correctness tells us you have to hate everything about the South and the Confederacy and anyone who took part of it. That's the modern orthodoxy now. That's what you have to believe.
And the point that I was trying to make with him is that if it's just such a cliche, but it's true, if we forget our past, we are doomed to repeat it. I said, so we can't forget that this happened, and we always have to remember why.
Right. How do you not repeat those sins if we don't know that they happened?
Now, the part about this that really enrages me is that if this man was so offended by what we were discussing, history, why didn't he just tell me right at the moment, Keith, please stop there, this offends me, I don't want to talk about this. Why did he continue to engage me? I felt like I was led into a situation and then taken advantage of.
So it's interesting when you said to me you felt like you got liberaled because, as you explained it to me, and you tell me right or wrong, you were not taking a positive view of slavery. You were talking about slavery in a historical context. And you were having a discussion about the history of America, and this other individual found your point of view to be offensive and reported you.
Exactly.
So when you said to me you got liberaled, you got called into that office because they wanted you to know that your point of view was offensive to this other employee, and you were in the wrong for doing that.
Exactly. So because I was talking about American history, a part of American history that is certainly a delicate situation, but has gotten so much better. Come on, let's not forget that. Things are much better now.
Right.
But I can't even talk about it. I have to watch every single thing I say now. I can't even speak about history.
Well, and this is what I said when I heard this, you know, and I want to be crystal clear because I'm concerned about people mistaking this conversation, is that nobody is saying slavery was good even back then because it was the normal thing. It's still wrong. We look at it back now, we realize that was a sin and that was horrible. And I'll tell you right now, if I could go back in time and erase it, I would do it because it was horrible and I know how people suffered. And I feel pain for my fellow Americans who suffered at the hands of slavery. Absolutely. But the real point here about this whole thing is that you were talking about American history that this other person found offensive, and therefore you should not talk about it. So you're being silenced because your thoughts were not the right thoughts.
Yes, exactly. That's exactly how I felt. I felt like my First Amendment rights were infringed upon, like I was not even allowed to talk about American history. There's no science at work. There's nothing up that says you can or cannot talk about anything. I was never told, don't talk about history, don't talk about politics. Again, the HR director used that same cliche, you don't talk about religion, politics, and whatnot. I said, I wasn't talking about that. I was talking about American history.
Right. See, and I can see where this person that made the complaint took your point of view of not saying that everything about the history of America was bad as being you were in favor of what happened back then, and therefore that is offensive, which that's kind of the political correctness doctrine now. If you don't look at these things and say everything about that time period, including the country's creation, is flawed because that took place, other than that, you're supporting it.
Exactly.
And nobody's supporting that. Nobody I know is supporting that.
No, of course not. I've never supported. Who could support slavery? It's a horrible, horrible thing to do to a human being.
But it is a fact. It did happen, and you're talking about American history. But you're not.
Exactly.
You're not taking the right point of view, and that's what's offensive to people. You know what I mean? If you had taken the other point and just said, oh, the whole country is horrible because that happened, you'd probably get a company award, I'm going to guess.
Yes, but I don't want to change the subject about that, but the thing that got me so upset was that I was only talking about history. I wasn't for anything or against anything. We were speaking about history, and the person was speaking back and having their own opinions.
Right. And that's the danger of political correctness. If you don't have the right speech, then it's all wrong. Now, let me ask you a question, though. Has anybody said you support President Trump? I believe that's correct, right?
Yes, I do. I support him.
Okay. So has anyone ever said anything at work negative to you about President Trump or the American flag or conservatism or anything like that?
Often.
Often, and these are coworkers.
Often, and these are coworkers. Yeah, I've had many coworkers tell me they hate Trump.
Right, and have you reported them because you were offended?
Of course not. I wasn't offended. They have the right to hate whoever they want to hate.
Right.
I didn't. I wasn't offended because if you want to feel that way, that's the way you feel. I don't like it when people say that's not my president. I didn't care for Obama as a president. The man was a good man. I thought he was a very great father and a good man. I don't think he was a good president. Personally, the worst 8 years of my life happened during his presidency because of what he did, of the changes that he made, affected my life so much that it changed. But right. I never, ever once did I say the words, not my president.
Right, because he was our president.
He was my president.
He was the president.
And I loved my country.
Right.
So I supported my president, whether I agreed with him or not. That's not what happened in what happens now. When I hear people talk about Trump, our president, it's always in a very negative, ugly way that offends me.
And it is, and you listen to the bigger news media, now they're not even holding back. They're saying if you are a Trump supporter, you are therefore a racist and a hater because he is, and you have to abandon him to prove you're not. You know, I mean, we're all deplorables now if you support the president. Now, we've said 1,000 times in conversation, yeah, I don't care for everything the guy says or the way he says it. He's not a politician. He opens his mouth and stuff comes out, and sometimes it's not said as refined as it should be or whatever. But the fact is that the guy clearly loves his country. He loves everybody in the country. He doesn't distinguish on race or religion or anything. He just wants everybody to be good Americans, and let's all row the American boat forward. But that's not how we're treated. You're right. People, you know, how about go walk around with a MAGA hat and see how long it takes before someone throws something at you, physically assaults you, calls you names, all kinds of things. And that would happen at work. I'm sure if you walked in with a MAGA hat on,
I would be put down. I would be laughed at. I would be told I was stupid.
And I'm going to guess HR would tell you you were inciting negativity by doing that, as opposed to the people who say the negative things to you.
Exactly what would happen. But that's why I was so upset over what happened.
All right. Well, hey, listen, Yankee Doodle Keith, I appreciate you coming on Chasing Justice here. You know, justice means everyone gets to have their point of view, right, wrong, or indifferent. Free speech means you get to say what's on your mind. You get to talk about things. Doesn't mean I have to listen. Doesn't mean I have to agree with you. I can think you're completely wrong. And it also doesn't mean I have to sit there and listen. I can get up and walk away if I don't want to hear what you have to say. But the thing is, we all have to be able to talk.
Which is what I believe that person should have done if they were so offended.
I agree. So listen, we got to run. So I appreciate you coming on to tell us your story.
If I could have one final word, go quick. Very quickly, make sure you ask if you're talking to somebody at work. Maybe you shouldn't even be talking to anybody about anything about at work. But make sure you ask if I'm offending you. Make sure you ask the words.
Have we come to that now, where you have to say, listen, I'm going to have a conversation about the Civil War. Does that offend you?
Exactly what I'm trying to say, because I thought I was having a simple American history conversation with another intelligent human being, and that's not what happened. I was liberaled. So
Keith got liberaled. Be careful, everybody out there. You might get yourself liberaled if you have a point of view. So, hey, listen, remember, be a part of the solution, not a part of the problem. Here on Chasing Justice on the America Out Loud Radio Network, we talk, we have conversations here. So we'll see you next time.